Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening at 6:30, Monday through Friday. And I welcome you to the show. And today I'm going to be talking about something very important to understand and interpret, and that is the passage in Matthew 13, 53 to 58, the rejection of Jesus in his own country. It's a very important passage because we all in our lives undergo rejection. And we have here in this passage Jesus being rejected, the Son of God, the Savior and Redeemer of humanity, the second person of the Trinity, being rejected in his own country. So, which goes to show you, I think, the deficiencies of human nature. But I'm going to give you a little bit of my background, ladies and gentlemen, so you understand where I'm coming from. My name is Andrew Shatkin. This is a politically incorrect show, not a politically correct show. It's a show where we don't particularly engage in media lies. We don't believe in engaging in media hype. We don't believe in engaging in political correctness. It's a politically incorrect show. We don't believe in media falsehoods. We believe in critical thinking and getting at the facts and truth. So that's what we are about in this show. So I'd like you to know also that I am a podcast host, and I run two radio shows, a Blog Talk radio show also, this one, which many people from Muslim countries have visited and other countries all over the world, including Bangladesh, India, Malaysia, United Kingdom, etc. And also I have 4,000 visitors to my podcast show, many from China and Muslim countries, I'm happy to say. Both of these radio shows have a distinctly Christian orientation, but I welcome all people of all faiths and all thought systems. They are very welcome to listen to this show, and they do visit these shows regularly from many countries all over the world. I also am a writer. I've written 10 books. I have written a book called Essays in the Christian Worldview, which is at a wide sales all over the world. Particularly, he's been bought by the entire University of California, 4 Dutch universities, and a number of universities in Australia and New Zealand. Quite a wide range of people have bought the books, institutions, and also I have a book called Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, which has also been widely bought by Ivy League universities such as Harvard, University of Pennsylvania, and I have a book on the parables, and this book on the parables interprets the 41 parables of Jesus found in the Gospels. It may have been posted on my social media and website. So that's it, and I have also written 2 law books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2, and my book on the parables can be found on social media and on my website. And my website is often visited by people from Muslim countries and from China, particularly atheist, agnostic China. I welcome, say, all types of people. I have an Iranian young philosophical student I'm very friendly with in Iran, and 2 Muslims, 1 a novelist and 1 a scientist from Istanbul, I have interviewed on my podcast show. I have a number of books in the pipeline, a book on the Psalms, which is I'm seeking a publisher, and I also have a book on the miracles and the sayings of Christ, and a law book, which I also will be publishing. These are partially completed books. I enjoy writing, I enjoy speaking, because I enjoy expressing my thoughts, which may have some value, I would hope. I also have written 2 very lengthy journal articles, 1 in the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, which has been bought by many European and American universities, and in particular by the State Department and by the United States Supreme Court. Again, my article on sex discrimination has been published by Academicus, a Albanian scientific journal, which has also been bought by many European and American universities, as well as the State Department. I'm happy to say. This show also involves a Christian emphasis. We often speak of theological issues, but we also speak of English literature and the great writers of the English tradition, including Byron, Shelley, Keats, etc. They can be found on my website. And Kipling, these are all the greats. Milton, of course. These are all the people I love and treasure beyond measure in reading. I will never stop having them beside my bedside and delving into them as much as I can. It is a privilege to read these writers, to know them, and to think with them. They are wonderful thinkers and writers, the best of all time. And also, my show involves also legal issues, also political issues, which I'm happy to debate and discuss with anyone. Now, I'm going to talk about Matthew 13, 53-58, Jesus' rejection in his own country. Rejection is something we all have to deal with. Why it occurs, I don't know, or how it occurs. I think it's wrong. I think it's mean. I think it's inappropriate without even knowing the person rejecting them. So I have no reason to do that, but people do it all the time. And Jesus himself endured this. And certainly he was one of the top people of all time, the Son of God incarnate, yet he experienced rejection. So I'd like to look at Matthew 13, 53-58, which goes as follows. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his own country, he goes to his own country and taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished, and they asked, understandably, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter? See how they say, where did he get this wisdom? How did he know this stuff and these mighty works? And then they ask, and it's an extremely contemptuous question, making a judgment on someone who does physical labor. And they ask, is not this the carpenter's son? So they're questioning, how does this man have this knowledge and wisdom to teach us when he's only a carpenter? And then they say, isn't his mother called Mary? So they say, what about his family? Are they so great that we can account for this man's wisdom and mighty works? And then they ask, are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and not all his sisters with us? Then they ask, carpenter's son, where did he get this? Isn't this just a regular guy with his mother called Mary and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Where did he get all this? This thought, this profound thinking, where did he get it? And they took offense at him. They were angry about it. They were jealous, I guess, is about it. That's the best way to put it. They say, where did this man get this knowledge and wisdom? They were angry about it. They resented it. And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and his own house. He said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and his own house. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And he points out that he himself, a prophet, and who is God, is not without honor except in his own country. So he said there's an issue in the neighborhood, they're saying. That's where he lacks honor and recognition. So again, let's take a look at this passage. They say, where did he get this wisdom? Isn't he just a carpenter's son? See how they make a judgment of a manual laborer? And isn't this guy, his mother Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters with us? Where did he get all this? And they took offense at him. They were angry. They were jealous. And Jesus responds, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. So once again in this passage, Jesus lays down a challenge to our thinking and values. He challenges us. He rattles our brains. Jesus returns to his own country And they are amazed. They can't understand that this carpenter's son can have this wisdom and do these works and miracles. They can't grasp it, that a humble carpenter can have this wisdom and do these miracles. They speak of his mother and his brothers and sisters. So they say, how can this man who's one of the crowd here, one in the neighborhood, with his mother Mary and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and sisters, they're all here. So how can we account for this man's wisdom and knowledge and mighty works of miracles? He's just a carpenter. So the issue in this passage is God's wisdom and Jesus being a doer of miracles when he is only the son of a carpenter, a humble tradesman, whose family, his mother, brothers, are known to the community. So they can't, the issue these people raise, and it's an incorrect issue they raise, is how can the wisdom of God and the doer of miracles be in the person and mind of only a humble carpenter, his family, that's significant, they're known to the community, they're part of the humble crowd, and they can't understand how this man can, a son of a carpenter, and whose family is settled in this village, how can he be doing miracles? How can he have this wisdom, etc.? And they're amazed and astonished that a man of such humble origins can exhibit such knowledge and wisdom and power. So they're jealous. They're amazed. They don't want to deal with it. They're amazed and astonished that a man of such humble origins can exhibit such knowledge and wisdom and power. They're amazed at it. Where did he get it? He's just a carpenter. He's the son of a carpenter. His family has lived here for years. So they are raising, you might say, a class issue, saying, how can a man of humble working class origins be the true God? So this is, you might say, this passage is a scandal to the world. It is a scandal to the world because, again, Jesus chose as his followers simple fishermen and tradesmen. He didn't choose the wealthy. He didn't choose the powerful. He didn't choose the great intellects, theoretically. And moreover, he suffered the death of an executed criminal with two criminals at his side. This is something, as it troubled the people in that village, that this humble carpenter should have such wisdom and do these miracles, it troubled them and annoyed them. They were jealous about it. They couldn't handle it. This man who chooses fishermen for his followers, who suffers the death of an executed criminal with two criminals, this troubles the world and will always trouble the world, and troubles in this passage his immediate neighbors and his community, who find this person, what he proclaimed, his wisdom and miracles, too much in their jealousy to accept. They couldn't deal with it. They were so angry and jealous about this man coming into their village and showing up everyone with his wisdom and power and miracles. And they found this person, when he proclaimed what he proclaimed and his miracles, too much in their jealousy to accept. The goodness was too much for them. The greatness of Christ was too much for them. You might say their familiarity breeds contempt. Jesus' countrymen failed to perceive God's presence in him because they can't understand that this man could be a God, could be God, and could be a prophet. It could be as great as he is, knowing his humble origins, which they share, and despising his background as they despise themselves. You can see what was going on here, the jealousy of a carpenter's son whose family lived there, sharing his mighty works, his miracles, and his wisdom. They couldn't handle it. It annoyed them. They said, could this man of humble origin be able to do this? And they despised his background as much as they despised themselves. What's the mistake here? I'll tell you what the mistake here. Mistaken and erroneous thinking of the world, which judges based on wealth, power, and class. No matter how great the person is, that person of humble origin who lacks power in the world system is despised. That is what is going on here in this passage. They fail to perceive God's presence in him, or they decline to address God's presence in him and as being a prophet and his greatness, because they say he is the son of a carpenter and they despise his background. The issue here is the mistaken and erroneous thinking of the world, which judges on wealth and power and class background. No matter how great that person is, his humble origins, which lack power in the world system, cause them to despise and view that person with contempt. They're jealous, they're annoyed, they're angry that the son of a carpenter whose family lived in the village has this wisdom, has this great power, has this great intellect. The same man chose fishermen and tradesmen to be his followers and died the death of a criminal. The scandal of Christ and the gospel is too much for the world to handle. It's too much to understand. It's too much to deal with. We don't want to see the world that way, but that is, Jesus is the answer. He is what he says he is. Nobody but God could do what he did and say what he said. He challenges all of us in his words in this passage and in his actions to know ourselves and to know him fully. So we are led to the truth about what is true and what is false in the world system. I hope you've enjoyed this this essay, and you can find it on my website. The name of the essay is The Rejection of Jesus in His Own Country, Matthew 13:53-58. You can listen to this recording on my website and on social media. I do hope you'll benefit by it, because all of us will immeasurably benefit by the words of Christ in the Gospels. He says things to advise us as to what is the true, valid way to approach life and think. Not in the thinking of television or computers. Jesus isn't into that. He's into real, deep thought. And when we read these passages, we are brought to his level of thinking, which is extremely profound and deep. It is the ultimate answer. The answer is not on television, it's not on cell phones, it's not in emails. It is in the text of the Bible. I hope you've enjoyed this, and I hope you'll read this passage in Matthew 13:53-58. I think you'll benefit from it, because I benefited from it when I wrote this essay. Thanks for listening to me. Bye.